So this is the Pesicha LeMishne Gimel. This is the preface to the third Mishnah in the fourth chapter. The Mishnah Zu Muzba HaChilek Shebein Shesh Kitzvois Muzkoris B'Psoif Perik Aleph. In this Mishnah we're going to learn to distinguish or the difference between the six directions as they were discussed at the end of the first chapter. Kisham Meduba Alu Musogim Shel Roim V'Tachas. There we talk about up, down, right, left, forwards and backwards. Mishnah Seinu Medab Beres, and our Mishnah talks about the union of space, the concept of space, and in a different way, because we are really looking for essential space. The space that we are familiar with, if you look at the diagram, there's a cube with six sides. First, we have a point, two points, we have a line, which is two-dimensional. If we have 3 points, then already we have area, which is still two-dimensional, but if we have 4 points, we can create volume. In this case, it would be a pyramid shape. Right? Once we get to six, we have six sides, then we're in the space, the three-dimensional space with which we are familiar. But space doesn't really end there, because there's a seventh point, and that is the center of every space. And if we were to go to the point in the diagram here, we would find that the six sides are still there. Wherever you look in any point in space, there are six sides to that space, in the sense that there's an up and down, right, left, forwards and backwards, and there is an imaginary center point, the seventh, the inside, which, as we're going to learn, is a very special thing in these seven double letters. So the Mishnah begins, Sheva Kefulois, seven double letters, Beis Gimel Dalet, Chof Pei, Resh and Tuf. Sheva Veloi Shesh, seven and not six. Sheva Veloi Shmoina, seven and not eight. Shesh Tzalois, Lishisha Sidorim, there are seven. There are six sides. It's interesting that we would normally translate these as ribs, because God says in Bereshis, in Genesis, says Vayiven es atzela, and God built the rib. But in actual fact, the word tzela means a side. So there are six sides, l'shisho sedorim, and six arrays, kineged sheva kitzvois, corresponding to the seven ends. So now we went from six to seven. So the six correspond to the seven, which is, now that we've seen the diagram above, we see what we're talking about. Mehen, of them, there are shesh kitzvois mala mata mizrach marav tzof nedorim, six ends or six directions, six extremities, up, down, east, west, north, and south. Veheichel hakodesh, and the holy sanctuary mechuvim beemtza is there exactly, precisely in the middle. In the middle of what? In the middle of everything. The middle of everything is that sacred place. Vehu noises kulam, and the sacred place, that seventh imaginary center point of every space, of every place, of every point in space, that carries the three-dimensional space. Boruch kavod Hashem imkoymei, blessed is the glory of God from his place. So we look at note 23. Sheva kufulois, the seven doubles, betzura shekol ois mehasheva, each of the seven letters, hu nesiv, is a pathway, bekav nimshach milmal lulamata, in a line going from top to bottom. And if you were to scroll up to the very top of the beginning of this chapter, I made a diagram showing these seven double letters in the form of seven vertical lines. Note number 24, Sheva Veloi Shesh, Al Tachshov, don't think, Sheyesh Lemala Mi Kese Oit Shvil and Nisiv Nimshach Memeni Yizbarach. Don't think that there's another line that, you see, if we talk about Keter as the top and Malchus as the bottom, and we talk about these are the channels, if you would, along which the divine flows, right? So the Mishnah is saying, don't understand this is that there is something above that flows into Keter. That there's a, that there, so to speak, if we could imagine that God is outside this array, and that something flows from God into Keter. Elo Ritzoina Poshet, it's not so. God's simple desire, Moifia, take it from Yad, it manifests in these ten sefirois, Ve'ein Emtzes Acheres, and there is no other medium. 25. Sheva v'lo yishmoina al tachshuv shehashvil unisiv shebein sefiros hamalchus hi knesis yisro l'sham arecha shemayim v'oretz einena kol kach chazak. Don't think that the channel between all the upper sefirot and the lower, which is malchut, don't think that this is somehow less, and that we are the most ancient name for the Sefira of Malchut is Knesset Yisrael. Right. How we understand Knesset Yisrael in an inclusive way, it's like the congregation of God. So anybody who wants to be congregation of God can call himself Knesset Yisrael. But what does it mean, Knesset Yisrael? In essence, it means to be in dialogue, to be in relationship with God, right? So that's the final sefira. And there is a shvil, which we're going to be learning about, a letter, the letter Taf, which is the pathway between Malchut and the one above it, which is Yisod. Everything, all the nine sefirot, their power, their influence, their art, their creativity, their emotion, it all flows through that sefira of Yisod to us, who we are Malchuts. And I might have thought that the native, that the channel that flows to us, because it flows from us as well, it flows upwards as much as it flows downwards, I might have thought that it's not equivalent. So the Mishnah tells us 7, not 6, 7, not 8. I might have thought Einena kol kach chazak mufulish kmo yashvil nesiv shebein kesel letiferes, that the, right, that the channel between Malchus and Yisod is not as open, as clean, as clear as that between Yisod, for instance, and the one above it, Tiferes. Doho boho talia, because one depends on the other. Ve'ein bezeh elamash yish bezu, there is only in this that which is in the other. And even though our connection is really responsible for the flow upwards, and therefore, how could we compare our desire, however simple and focused, however powerful our kavana, how can we compare it to that which comes from God? Nevertheless, our desire is the expression of God's desire. Because what is our desire? Our desire is that God's desire be expressed. That is ultimately what every God worshipper wants. The Rabbi Shalom, Master of the Universe, be here now. So even though on a purely physical level I have to say, how can I compare my koyach to God's koyach, and my hispashas, my desire, how can it compare to that awesome, infinite, simple desire? Nevertheless, loikein hu, the Mishnah is telling us, don't say that. Elonot soifam betchilosan, the end is tucked into the beginning, and the beginning is tucked into the end, and they are all as open as one another. Sheish tzalois, six sides or ribs, as it's written, Vayikach achas mitzalois, of God took one of Adam's ribs, Vayiskabos tachtav, and he fastened and he closed it with flesh. Kepirish Rashi, Rashi says, mitzalois of mistarav, from his sides. And so I guess the idea of God taking a rib from Adam in order to make Chava is it's a Christological translation, because our sages have never understood Tzela as being a rib. Because we see in the construction of the temple, of the tabernacle in Shmois, in Exodus, it says, Uletzela ha-mishkon, and to the side of the Mishkan, uses the same word. V'kurois and tzalis, in that case, why is our Mishnah referring to these six sides using the word rib, when it could have used another word? G'dei lehadgish harayin, because the Mishnah is trying to emphasize the idea shiyesh beinem ubeemtzaim leif, that there is a heart somewhere inside those six ribs or sides. And the Mishnah refers to the heart as Heichal HaKodesh, as that holy sanctuary which is precisely in the middle. And we really, it's important not to forget that everything that we talk about isn't just an architectural construct, and it's not just an intellectual idea, but that we are talking about the heart and the emotions. So the Mishnah said, and this is note 27, Sheva Kitzvois, seven extremities, which here we're being hit with something entirely new, because at the end of the first chapter we were not given any idea that there were going to be more than three dimensions, that there were six sides and that's it. But we find here that we have a seventh side, so to speak, or a seventh extremity. V'yesoidoi, the word kitzvo, we find in the Torah where it's talking about the cherubs on top of the ark, and it says Mishnei Kitzois HaKapoiris, and these cherubs are going to be on the two ends of the lid of the ark. So the Kitzois means as far away from one another as, so the word Kates, end. So the two cherubs are on the two ends, opposing one another, as far away from one another as they can be. Pirish called Nekuda Mishesh Nekudois. And so these, if you talk about up and down, what do we actually mean? We mean as far away from, up is as far away from down as it can possibly be. Echod Meruchuk Mechaveto Betachlis Harichuk, as far away, the distance between them is the nth degree, Min HaKotze El HaKotze. Note number 28, Vehechla Kodesh Mechuvin Be'emtza, and the Holy Sanctuary is precisely in the middle. K'loy Meshekol Nekuda Nekuda Shebechol Mokoim, every spot in every place in space is part of this array of six sides, in which there is a center, which is the seventh. And if you look at the diagram that I've put here into note 28, if you look at the arrows, if you imagine following the arrows, each of the six arrows coming from one of the directions, if you could imagine them meeting somewhere at an infinite point, that infinite point at the very center is the seventh point, but you can move the whole array into everywhere in space. So everywhere in space is that special center. V'hu noises, Kulam, note 29, Pirsha Nekuda Ha'emtzos, the middle spot, Dahayna HaShvius, which is the seventh, Shehi Sefiras HaMalchus, which is the Sefira of Malchus, Noise es Kolam Areches, it carries the entire array. V'HaMalchus, and what is Malchus? Ma Mehusa, V'zeh Soid V'yisoid Kol HaYisoid, this is the fundament of all the fundamentals. It is, as we are going to see, it is Emuna, faith. Boruch Kvoid Hashem Im Koimoi, as it is written, Batisoenu Ruach, Batisoeni Ruach, and the wind carried me. Ve'eshma Achrai, and I heard behind me Koil Rash Godoil, and the sound of a great storm. And what was the noise? Boruch Kvoid Hashem Im Koimoi. We move on to the next Mishnah. And this is the preface to Mishnah 4. Isa b'medesh, psichin al mishne dalet, Isa b'medesh, we learn in the medesh, kol ha-shvi'in chavivin, all sevenths are special. Lo'olam, forever, it doesn't matter in which area you look at sevenths, if it's as number seven, then it's got something peculiar or particular and preferred about it. Ha-shvi'i choviv, lemalon ha-shvi'i choviv, above, meaning in the sky, the seventh is special. There's Shemayim, Shmei Shemayim, Rikia, Shchokim, Zvul, Mo'in, V'arovois. These are seven names for seven different levels of the heaven. Uksiv, Soilu, L'roichiv, V'arovois, B'koshmoi. And so we see that the seventh, which is called Aravot, is considered to be special. Soilu, L'roichiv, V'arovois, extol God who rides upon the Aravot, right? So the Aravot is the seventh heaven, so God is special in the seventh heaven. Be'artzois, in the land. Shvi'es Chavivo, then the seventh is also, because we have seven names for dry land: Eretz, Adomo, Arko, Gei, Tzio, Noishio, and Tevel. Uchsiv, and it is written, V'hu yishpoi Tevel b'tzedek, God will judge Tevel, the world, in justice, righteousness, Yodin le'umim b'meishorim, and he will judge the nations. So, why does it say yishpoi Tevel? Because Tevel is a seventh and it's special. B'doiros, in the generations, Shvi'es Choviv, the seventh is also preferred because we have Odom. He had a son, Shes, who has a son, Enosh, who has a son, Kenan, Mahalalel, Yored, Chanoich. Chanoich is the seventh generation, Uchsiv, by Ishalech, Chanoich Esho Elikim. Chanoich walked with God. Ba'ovois, in our Jewish patriarchs, we also have Shvi, Choviv, we have Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kohos, Amram, Moshe. Moshe is the seventh generation from Avraham. Uchsiv, and it's written, Moshe Olo Elho Elikim, Moshe goes up to God. Bebonim, among the sons, Hashvi, Choviv, the seventh is preferred, Shinema, David Hashvi. Yishai had eight sons, but David is the seventh. Bemelochim, among the kings, Hashvi, Choviv, the seventh is special, we have Shaul, Ishboishes, David, Shloimer, Rechavam, Avio, Oso. Oso was the seventh of the king of the Jews, Uchsev, Vayikra, Oso, El Hashem. Oso called upon God. Bishonim Shvi Choviv, among the years, the seventh is special. Shenema v'hashviyas tishmetena natashta, and you shall let the seventh year sit fallow. And so the seventh year is special. And among the seventh years, the Shmitin Shvi Choviv, the seventh of the seventh, is special because it has an extra year attached. Shenema kidashtim is shenasa chamishim, and we make the 49th and the 50th year fallow years, and also years of freedom. Bayomim, in the days Shvi Choviv, the seventh day is special. Shenema vayivorech elikim asyim haShvi, God blessed the seventh day. Bechadoshim, in the months Shvi Choviv, seventh is preferred. Shenema bechodesh haShvi beechad lechodeshin, the whole yomim noiroim rosh hashanah yom kippur sukkos simchas Torah, everything happens in the seventh month. Him esa shviim, so there are actually ten. There's heavens, lands, generations, fathers, sons, kings, years, fallow years, days, and months. So, I was looking at them for a long time, and I see that there is a pattern that you can. I've laid out the pattern in the array above to show that they actually fit into Olam Nefesh and Shonah. So the Mishnah says, Sheva Kufula is seven doubles, Beis Gimel Dalet, Chof Pei Reish Tof, Chokakon, he carved them, Chotzvan, he hewed them, Tzarfan, he combined them, Shoklan, weighed them, Vehemiron, substituted them, Vitzarbohem, and he fashioned with them, Kechovim Ba'olam, stars in the world, Vyomim B'Shona, and days in Shona, in time, V'Sha'orim B'Nefesh, and gateways in the soul. Umehem chokak, and from them God carved Shiva Rekim, seven heavens, Vishiva Artsois, and seven lands, Vishiva Shabosois, and 7 weeks. Lefikach, and therefore Chivav Hashvi Tachas Hashemaim, God gives special preference to the seventh beneath the heaven. So Chokakon, this is note number 31, as we've said. The idea of carving shechakika b'chinas sfiras malchus, that chakika, carving, is always connected with the sefira of malchus. This goes back to something that we learned very early on. Upirish lachritz charitzim, and it involves writing. Carving is like writing. It's very, you know, if you take a piece of paper and you splodge ink on it, that's not writing. Writing isn't just about putting ink on paper, it's about putting ink on paper in a very, very particular, defined way. Chakika, carving, isn't just about taking a hammer and a chisel to stone. It's about being as careful with it as writing. Because the carving that you're doing is itself extremely important. Whereas Chotzvan, when we talk about hewing, we talked in the third perek about the idea that there it's not really important. what we want to do when we're ewing is just to remove material, like to create a hole or a cistern or to dig a well. That's called hewing out, and it's very different from carving. And it's not like this tablet that we're being particular about. El haboyer, we want to make a hole. So the carving, it's not about carving, but removing material. And we said that that was like the preparation of Avraham when God, so to speak, carves Avraham with the mitzvah of Mila. And we also talked about Sarah, that she was originally created without a womb, and that the Pasuk says, Hibitu el tzur chatzavtem, vel nikras tzur nikresem, that God says through the prophet, look to where you came from. You came from this couple, Abraham and Sarah, that neither of them really had primary genitalia, that as Sarah, that God carved her a womb, and that was the chatziva, and Avraham, he has to go through the chakika and the chatziva in order to remove the arlet. He has to go through circumcision, and that's the preparation for them to have children. So chatziva, hewing, which is to remove what is superfluous, that is the Sephirah of Yesod. So we've had Malchus and Yesod. Tzarfon, he combined them. And we talked in Perek Beis, in the second Perek, we talked about the Inyan of Tseruf, that it refers to the vessel in which one refines silver. And silver, Kesef, is a expression of desire. Kizeh kamo nichsoif nichsafti. I have desired with powerful longing. Lirois besif eres ezecha. That's in Yedid Nefesh. And so, this idea of Tseruf is connected with the Sephirah of Tiferes, which is where our longing and our heart goes through its processes. Shoklan, he weighed them. Ein Le'el, we look in Perek Beis, in the second chapter, we explained the idea of the Shekel, and that exacting, when the first time we encounter the Shekel in the Torah, Avraham is being forced to weigh the Shekels to buy the Ma'aras HaMachpelah from Ephraim the Chitti in order to bury Sarah. And we talked about how they were kantrin. Rashi says they were kantrin, and that each shekel that Avraham weighed for Ephraim was like an accusation against Ephraim. And so the idea of weighing carries within it the idea of din. And again, Hemiron, he substituted them. We talked about Eretz Hamiriyo, when Avraham and Yitzhak are going to the Akedah, it says, God says to him, Lech Lecho El Eretz Hamiriyo. And we don't find Yerushalayim is called Moriah for any particular reason, other than that God substituted Yitzhak, and Yitzhak wasn't sacrificed, instead a ram was sacrificed in his place, and that is called Temura, substitution. So Har HaMoiriyo, it is the mountain where Yitzchak and the ram are substituted for one another, which is also an expression of Gevuras and Dinim. Anything to do with Yitzchak is connected with Din. But Tzar Bahen, and God fashions with them or forms with them. We talked about Tzar. The first time we find Tzar is actually in Shmois, where Tzipora says, Vatikach Tzipora Tzor, she takes this sharp stone. And then we looked at the different meanings of Tzor, and Tzor could be a balm, like an ointment. So the word Tzor means, when Tzipora went to do the Mila, when she went to circumcise her son Eliezer and Gershon, who hadn't been circumcised while she was living at home, says she took this Tzor to circumcise her son, which means to heal. So words, the word tzor can also mean a sharp stone, like a flint, or an obsidian knife is also called a tzor. So that both the ointment and the knife are called tzor. And this is the idea of Mila, that it is a wound, but it is also a healing. And so Tzipora takes the herbs to heal, and also the sharp stone. And this is the idea of words themselves. They have the capability of healing as much as they have the capability of wounding. And herein we find the idea of Zohar and Nekeva. So God created Koychovim Ba'olam, stars in the heavens. So here we come up in Sefer Yetzirah against the traditional explanation of what this means, the seven stars. What are the seven stars? And unfortunately, they don't fit in with our modern understanding of cosmology, right? Our world isn't shaped that way anymore, and it's very hard for us to see these seven stars in the way that the Sefer Yetzirah, or a traditional interpretation of it. First of all, these seven stars are called Shiva Koichvei Leches, the seven stars that move. Because they move, they can be seen with the naked eye to be move across the sky. And they're never at rest. But they always appear to be in a hurry, running to do the desire of their creator. So they're called Koichvei Leches. They're called these running stars. V'yisoido ikari, and the main thing to know, b'havona zayin koichvei leches, and to understand, the main thing to understand about them is shemisyachsim zemze, that they relate to one another. U'poilem elu be'elu b'koyach chumriyusan, and as a result of their physical properties, they interact with one another. Kol shnei dvorim chumriyim, that all any two physical bodies, misyachsim ze leze, they interact, umashpiyim ze al ze b'chalal ha'olam, and they influence one another. So, among the seven koich veleches, these seven stars, we have the moon, the sun, Mercury, Mars, Venus, Saturn, and you know these. It's very difficult for us to appreciate how these two stars or how these two planets interact with one another. But you know, every time the moon goes round, twice a day, we get tides in sea. The tides, you know, the rising and the falling of the tides is the effect of the moon going around the Earth and its gravitational pull. But you know, we're not really so much under the gravitational pull of the moon as we are under the gravitational pull of the sun. So how come the sun doesn't affect our tides? And the answer is the sun is so powerful that its gravitational force acts through the Earth as though the Earth wasn't there. And the difference between one side of the Earth and the other is so small when you compare it with the vast distance of 98 million miles that there is between us and the sun, that the 25,000 mile circumference of the Earth is garnished, right? It's like it's not there. So we don't experience the tidal pull of the sun on the different sides of the Earth, whereas the moon, being relatively small, it makes a big difference which side of the Earth it happens to be on and how it pulls. So here in the diagram that I've put here, I want to point out that in fact Saturn has just as much gravitational pull on Earth as the Sun. The thing is that Saturn is minuscule, right? And the Sun and Saturn, though, they both obey the exact same inverse square law. And if you have any interest, you might want to look here at what the inverse square law is. It's just that two bodies in space, they pull each other in the inverse square of their mass and the distance between them. And it doesn't matter whether it's the Sun, the Moon, or Mercury and Mars and Venus, we all interact with one another, obeying exactly the same law. So, in actual fact, the galaxy, the Milky Way, or, you know, Cygnus Minor, or you know, Alpha Centauri, what Jeff's, it has the exact same gravitational pull on us as the Moon. The reason that we don't experience it is only because of the distance between us, but it's there, right? It may be very faint, but you know, radio signals can be very faint, and you can hear them a very long way away. And the gravity that's between us, and of course, we are being pulled towards the center of our own galaxy by that same inexorable power of gravity. Having said that, the Mishnah tells us that God, Chivev HaShvi'i, he has special relationship with sevenths. And what is the seventh of the double letters? The seventh of the double letters is in fact the last one. It's the Tav. And so we learn in the Me'er Shiloach, we come across it here and there, the Me'er Shiloach says, HaShin Hu HaChroinu Shev Aleph Beis. The letter Shin is really the last letter of the Aleph Beis. I remember when I learned it the first time, it's like, who was his Rebbe in Cheder, right? What do you mean the Shin was the last letter of the Aleph Beis? That's the Ishbitzer. He says the Tav really doesn't even belong in the Aleph Beis. The Tav is like connected with Olam Habo. And when we learn the Sefer Yetzirah, and we see that, as we're going to see, the letter Tav is associated with Shabbos. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Habo, that Shabbos really, if you're into Shabbos, you're already connected beyond time. You're connected to the future. Now we can understand what the Ishbitz is saying when he talks about the fact that the Tav is not really here in this world. Okay, so let's go to Mishnah 5. Mishnah Hey. Pesicha leMishnah Hey. Maschel Levi inin ho'oisiyos achas achas. Now that we've talked about the double letters in a general, non-specific way, we're going to be talking about them one by one. L'shal shom besod olam nefeshonu, we're going to have a look how each of the seven letters has manifests in the olam nefesh and shona in this triplicate. L'chol achas yoyim b'shvua, each one of the seven letters is going to have a corresponding day of the week. Koychav m'shiv v'koych v'lech is going to have one of the seven moving planets or moving heavenly bodies. V'shah m'shiv v'ashorim b'rosh odam, and each one is going to be associated with one of the orifices of the head, the two eyes, the two ears, the two nostrils, and the mouth, which makes seven. V'koydem, the very first one is ois tof, it's the last letter. Mishum Chavivosa, and we're going to deal with it first because of its specialness. Shehi me'ein olam habo, haynu Shabbos k'mo shehisbar. So, we're going to have to digress here before we get to the Mishnah, but let's do it. Vo'ois tof. The letter tof, mekoimo benesiva shebein tzfiris yisod l'tzfiris malchus. We are now in the Hebrew on page 15. So the letter tof represents the shvil, the channel, the conduit between the sefira of Yesod and Malchus. V'zois b'chinas Esther ha-Malka, and this pathway is the one which is forged by Queen Esther. Shehivia gula la'olam, she brings the salvation down from heaven to the world, b'bi'osu le'melech, when she comes to the melech, when she comes. So, you know, here's a little euphemism. I haven't stated explicitly what bio means, but bio always in rabbinic Hebrew is a reference to intercourse. So Esther Hamalka, she comes to the king, right? So what is it that Esther did? What was it that made the great breakthrough that brought the geula, that brought the salvation down, not just a temporary salvation, but you know, the Gemara says, Kimu v'kiblu, at that time the Jewish people accepted upon themselves all over again Matan Torah, because at Sinai we had stood there with a mountain over us, and God said, you know, I'm forcing you, I'm not letting you go away from here unless you receive the Torah. So we were basically coerced into receiving the Torah, but there in the time of Esther, we gladly took upon ourselves, we said, were we there at Sinai now, we would accept the Torah willingly. So there was something that happened, right? And what happened is that Esther had a breakthrough, or showed us, she taught the world something, and that was faith. Alidejo emuno, shohoisula esta hamalko, the faith that Esther had, kieted maltimait, was like an immovable peg. Ubifrat emunas chachomim, she extended her faith not just to some nebulous idea of God, but she extended her faith to flesh and blood, right? She said, I have emuna in tzaddikim, I have emuna in chachomim. She'emina kol divrei Mordechai, because Esther, who was not given prophecy at that point, right? She's an orphan girl, she grows up in her uncle's house, she sees that he is a very, very saintly man, a very holy man, and he teaches her Torah, and he's a member of the Sanhedrin, he's one of the Nevi'im, I mean, he's a very important sage, and she has emuna. Esther has faith, not just in the ancient God of her ancestors. She has faith in the Nevuah, in the wisdom, and in the tradition, in the Mesorah that Mordechai is giving her. And she obeys him when Mordechai says to Esther, now is the time to go to the king and do whatever you have to do, basically seduce the king so that you can get his ear and you can get him to revoke the decree. Lo ve'el ha-melech, and in doing so, Mordechai is giving Esther access not just to King Ahasuerus, but to Melech Malchei Hamlochim, God, the King of Kings. Besoid, and this is the mystery of Uvechein ove'el ha-melech, Esther says to Mordechai, Knois kol ha-Yehudim, gather all the Yidden together, which is like the first thing, the first time that the Yidden are successfully gathered together to petition for their lives, and she says, fast for me, and I will also fast, uvichein ove el ha-melech, and so I will come to the king, kasha avadati avadati, and as if I'm lost, I'm lost, right? She uses the phrase, uvichein ove el ha-melech, and this phrase, uvichein ove el ha-melech, kidi'isa b'sefer tilas Yaakov, there's a book of Kabbalah written by a Turkish Kabbalist in the 16th, 17th century. It's called the Worm of Yaakov. And it refers to the fact that the Eden are like silkworms, and that we're spineless, we don't have a backbone, we don't have any koyach, you could squash us, right? With one finger you could squash us, and yet we have this amazing power of being able to spin this silk with our mouth in the form of prayer and devotion and kavona, which silk is, you know, pound for pound, I guess it's the strongest molecule, you know, that if you could build bridges out of it, they would last forever. It's such a strong thing. So Tilas Yaakov, the Eden are compared to the silkworm, right? So he wrote a book all about, and he weaves together the Zohar and the Ari, and he talks in about Rosh Hashanah. He talks about the word of Uvechein, you know, in the Shemoneh Esra of Rosh Hashanah. What's special about it is we say Uvechein Tein Pachtecho Hashem Elikeinu Al Kol Maasecho, and then when we finish we say Uvechein Tzadikim Yiru V'Yismochu, and then Uvechein Yiskale Shimcho Hashem Elikeinu. So again we go Uvechein, Uvechein, Uvechein. So the Tehilas Yaakov says, you know where we get this Koyach Uvechein? We get it from Esther. That our whole Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening, the idea of HaMelech HaKodesh, which we end up finally by saying HaMelech HaKodesh, this all bezuchus, this phrase that Esther uses. And he says, Kisoid Shem Zer, V'chein Shem Hu, the word V'chein is the name of God. B'soid Shmoy Yisborach, B'soid Ayin Beis, it's in among the mysteries of the 72 letters. Kisoid Shem Zer, the mystery of the 72 letters, who are yoytzim shloish psukim shebetoyre v'heim, v'yisu v'yovei v'yet. If you look at in the parsha of Bishalach, when the Eden come out of Egypt, and it was the night, the seventh night of Shvi Shel Pesach, and we stand by the sea, and the Eden came to Moshe crying, look, the Egyptians are coming. they're going to run us down, and behind us is the sea, we have nowhere to go. In there, there happen to be three verses in the Torah that each of the verses has exactly 72 letters. According to the Kabbalah, these three verses, each containing 72 letters, together, you weave them together, and they make 72 triplicates. Each of these triplicates is a holy name, and so there are 72 three-letter names of God that come out of these psukim. And how do they come out? You take the first letter of the first pasuk, which is a vav, and you take the last letter of the second pasuk and the first letter of the third pasuk. So when you look at these shemois, the first letter of each of the 72 shemois is the pasuk moving forwards. So that's chesed. The second letter of each of these 72 shemois is the pasuk, so to speak, moving backwards, because you're reading the last letter, the second to last letter, the third to last letter. So whenever you're reading something backwards, then you're into gevura territory. The third letter is again reading it forwards, but now you've already done the chesed and the gevura, so now you're in rachamim territory. So the first of each letter is chesed, the second is din, and the third is rachamim. So the Toilas Yaakov says, Ki soid shem ze, the secret of this name, hayotze mishloshe psukim shebetorah, which comes out of these three verses in the Torah, which begin, vayiso vayovoy vayet, omnam, you should know, he says, soid uvechein, that the mystery of this word, uvechein, hu inyan besoid hashem ba'ayin base, it's inside the 72. It's not one of the 72. It's the inside of the 72. The inside meaning, what does the word uvechein mean? And with so. Uvechein. And with or and inside this, which is like this. What does he mean? V'hu soid ha-chesed v'harachmim v'ha-gevura. If you put chesed inside Rachamim, inside Gevura, one inside the other, besoid shloshim pesukim, the way these three verses are woven together, ukenegdon tiknu loyme shloshim pa'omim v'chein, and so the Chachamim have put these three v'cheins into the davening of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Ubemedrosh Reb Shimon bar Yochai, and in the medrash of Reb Shimon bar Yochai, which was how he referred to the book of the Zohar, Omer Reb Yaisa, he quotes, Ashkachne berozu do, I found this secret b'tikiyosu de Rav b'bovel, in the tikiyah of Rav in Bovel. So what is the tikiyah? The tikiyah is the shvorim and the teruah are all increasingly complex sets of three. And what is it? Uvechein, uvechein, uvechein. Lekabel hanet klas, corresponding to the threes of the three pesukim. I'll tell you frankly, I don't know what this Toilas Yaakov really means, but I take it that he knows. He's trying to explain to me. I'm a little, you know, thick, so I don't quite get how he's gotten from the three pesukim. I mean, I understand how the three pesukim and the 72 names are constructed forwards and backwards, but he's saying that the uvechein that Esther says uvechein ovoy el hamelech, and of course, you know, Esther commands Mordechai to take all the Eden and to fast for 3 days. I mean, there are many triplicates that are happening in here, but somehow all this together creates this name of God, which is called Ubechein. V'hatam, he ends by saying, Mipnei ki b'shem zem is ala ha-kovid l'mala, in this name of God, which is called Ubechein, the glory of God is raised at Ein Sof to the mamish, to the infinite. Ke'en shekosuv uvechein ovo el ha-melech, because Esther says, with this I will go up to the king. I will reach the king with this. Ve'Esther ha-malka niksheres l'mala, and Esther, who is Malchus, right? Esther is the lowest level, she's the lowest sphere, she is Malchus, she's Queen Esther. And she says, uvechein ovo el ha-melech, I'm going to go right up all the way to Keter. Levakish mlifnei amelech al amo, to beg for her people from the king, ki nichmud rachmeo, because her mercy has been kindled al boneo, for her children, ve'ena mezozo misham, she refuses to move from there, ad shekiras gzadinam, until she's seen the evil decree torn up. That's the Tolas Yaakov. So Biksha Esther Ladas, Esther wanted to know, Eich Efshir Shihi Ba'atzma Tihat Sinner. Esther wants to know how she could be possibly be the conduit through which the Yeshua, the salvation and the Shefa is gonna flow. Who came along, we learn everywhere, Shehat Sinner Shel Shefa Kodesh, if there's a divine, if there's a holy flow coming into the world, Chayev Lias Kodesh and Mekudesh Gamken, then the conduit also has to be holy. Right? We were learning in Ishbetz that Yosef, because Yosef Hu Hamashbir, Yosef is the conduit through which everything flows into this world, right? Yosef is Midas Yisod, right? Midas Yisod is the bottleneck through which all the nine sephiros come, right? Down to Malchus. Yosef is not allowed to sin because he is the conduit. He is that Midah of Yisod. He is the fundament. He's like the divine genitals through which the seed is going to flow into the world. He has to remain pure and holy and unsullied, right? Esther says, if I am the letter Tav, right? I am the shvil. I am the channel through which the divine salvation is going. She says to Malchus, how could it be? You're telling me to go sleep with Achashverosh. How could it be? V'im tetame ba'achashverosh, if she's going to defile herself with Achashverosh, tifsulis atzma melias tzinah la'ashev, she's going to disqualify herself from being the channel through which the divine comes to flow. Elikadi Issa, so the answer is, like we learn in the Gemara, bo Habakuk v'hamidon al'achas. You know, there was a prophet, Micah, he says, Ashimru, Asu Tzedoka Shimru, Hatzne Leches im Hashem Lekecho. He says, do justice and pursue kindness and walk privately, walk modestly with God. Right? So he says there are three things you have to do. Yeshaya says, Shimru Mishpat Vasu Tzedoka. And Yeshaya says, so the Gemara says, Yeshaya, he boiled it down to two things. Be honest, to pursue justice, and do acts of charity. So then the Gemara says, Bo Habakkuk, then comes the prophet Habakkuk, and he boils it down to one. He says, V'tzadik be'eminosoi yichya. And the tzadik lives by his emuna, by his faith. So Habakkuk boils the whole religion, boils the whole of Judaism down to one principle, which is emuna. Bo Habakkuk v'hamidon al acha shenemo v'tzadik b'aminosa yichya. Tzadik, the tzadik lives on emuna, right? The tzadik can base his whole life philosophy on emuna. Well, what is tzadik? Tzadik is yisod, right? Yosef HaTzadik, the epithet tzadik is always associated with that midah, with that sephira of yisod. Yichya, what does it mean? Tzadik b'aminosa yichya. To live is the Shefa. We said that wherever you find life, wherever you find it, like Elikim Chaim, it's the expression of God in process. So the Emuno is the Tzinor. The faith, that's the channel through which everything flows. The Tzinor, the word Tzinor is Rotzon. Tzadik Nun Vav Resh is the same letters as Resh Tzadik Vav Nun. The tzinor that Esther has is her desire, right? That is the flow, that is the channel through which the Shefa is going to flow. And the emuna pshuto, the hachzoko, her simple and powerful faith, shehemino Esther b'motcha tzalik, she holds by motcha, and she says, he's the tzaddik, ubitzivuyov, and he's commanded me to do what he has commanded me to do. Shehitil alova el amelech, he told her, no, I want you to go to the king. Velasis al pidvorov kamoitzi pi Hashem. She does everything as though she heard it from Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, right? Esther follows V'mama Mordechai Esther Oise Kasha Oise Ba'omneite. She continues to follow Mordechai's direction as though she's standing there at Sinai, right? That was a very, very powerful act. Also, Roshan Otzim B'chol HaLomas. That faith that Esther has, that makes the most powerful effect in all the worlds. V'nasa Esther Bechinas Malchus, and she becomes Malchus. She thinks to herself, I'm in the role of Yosef. I'm in the role of trying to connect the upper world and the lower world, and so, you know, I have to remain pure, and you know, that was her question. She doesn't realize that, no, she's not Midas Yisoid. She is going to become Malchus itself. You know, Malchus has a whole different order, as we learned in the tribe of Yehuda, right? How come the tribe of Yosef has to remain so pure in its sexuality, and Yehuda, you know, it's not so? Because Malchus and Yisoid, they have played different roles. And what Esther didn't realize is that her Amunah was going to open her up to actually become Malchus. Kumuda at Oma, as it is written, Vatilbash Esther Malchus. Esther donned Malchus. We said, what is Malchus? Malchus is the Torah Shebaal Peh. Malchus is the oral Torah. The Amunah Tzchachomem, and what is the oral Torah? The oral Torah is the faith that we have in our sages. Shehoisela b'mama Mordechai, she has faith in the words of Mordechai. Bechinas Torah Shebaal Peh, and the level of this oral Torah is the level of Sora. It says Shehi Shemas Pesach Oel. It says that Sora is listening to the word of God. Vehi Shemas. So Sora receives the Torah Shebaal Peh. Shavram Avinu Bechinas Torah Shebiksav, because Avram Avinu was really at the level of the written Torah. Tichsev, as it's written, Vayoytzi Oysi Hachutzo, God takes Avraham outside, Vayoyme, and he says, Habetna Shemaima, look at the sky, Sfeiros HaChichovim, count the stars, Im Tuchel Lisparos, and whether you can count them. Vayoyme Loi, and he said to him, Koye Zaracho, like, you see those stars, that's how many your children are going to be. So that was like Bechinas Torah Shebiksav. God is saying, look, it's written there. Can you count? Can you count? Of course you can't count. But that's how many your children are going to be. So that is, the heavens are like Avraham's book. Avraham receives it and the Torah Shebiksav. But Sora Shemaz, the Torah tells us she's listening at the door of the tent. Upirish, and it's also like we learn in Yirmiyahu, Halakoy Dvorai Ke'eshnum Hashem, God says, my words are like fire, Ukepatish Yifoytzit Sela, and like a hammer bursts the rock. Koy Dvorai Ke'esh, my words are like fire, that's the Torah Shebiksav. Ukepatish, and like a hammer, Yifoytzit Sela, you can keep hitting the rock, and it just keeps on sparking. That is the Bechina of Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah. Shebechinas Koy Yazaracho, when God says to Avraham, your children are going to be like this, that was like in writing. He says to him, yeah, I'm giving you a document. You see the sky? That's how many there's going to be. But Sora, it says, Shema'as, she's listening, which is the oral Torah. V'zeh she'isa b'medrash, and this is what we learn in the Medrash. Rabbi Kiva, hoya yoshev v'doirish, Rabbi Kiva was sitting there teaching his class, right? He was teaching in public. V'hatzibah misnamnim, and people were falling asleep, people had had a hard day at work or whatever it was, and he could see people were a little drowsy. So he wanted to wake them up. Bikish l'oiriram, Rabbi Kiva wanted to, you know, get everybody to snap awake. Omar, he said, Madroa so Esther, what did Esther see? She'timlei chalsheva v'esrim umei medina, that she should rule over 127 of the Medinas Achashverish, of the countries of Achashverish. Elo Tovoy Esther, let Esther come, Shehoise Bas Bito Shel Sora, who was a great granddaughter of our matriarch Sarah. Shehoise Kuf Chuf Zayin, whom Sora, everybody knows, the Torah tells us, V'yichai Sora, Me'er Shona V'Ethem Shona V'Sheva Shona, she lived 127 years. So let Esther come and rule over 127 countries. That's the Gemara. That's the Medrash. So I'm going to explain it like this. It says Vatilbish Esther Malchus. The Gemara says Esther donned Malchus. Gemara asks, Big Day Malchus Miboilus. The Torah, the Megillah should have said, and she put on clothing of majesty, clothing of royalty, royal vestments. Why did it say she put on royalty? So the Gemara says, Melamed Shilov Shasa Ruach HaKodesh, she dressed herself in Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So here we learn that Malchus, the sphere of Malchus, is associated with Ruach HaKodesh, with prophecy. When she pirashti le'el, as we said above in chapter 2 in the preface to Mishnah 1, and as we learned in the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yochanan Mishem, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Lo imatzino shidibah hamokem imu isha, we don't find anywhere in the Torah that God spoke to a woman, ela im soro bilvad. And then we talked about how the revelation, the prophecy of Sarah was quantitatively and qualitatively different from that of with any other prophet, because she's the only prophet that it says Vayoyme, God said, it doesn't say and God spoke to such and such a person. This is Vayoyme loy, God said no, kitzachokt, you laughed. And we talked about how that's an incomparable intimacy that God has with Sarah, that the Torah doesn't have to say and God said to Sarah. So the Gemara says, the Gemara Megillah, the Torah tells us Avi Milka v'Avi Yiskor, that Nochar was the father of Milka and father of Yiskor. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak says Yiskor zu Sora, that her name was Sora, but people used to call her Yiskor. Why? Why did she call Yiskor? She soch zu Ruach HaKodesh, because she had so much Ruach HaKodesh, so much prophecy, that she was able to look outwards at the world. She could see the whole world with her prophecy, with her seeing eye, right? And everybody knew that this girl, even as a child, she had the Holy Spirit upon her. People used to call her Yiskor, meaning the seer. Shenema koila shetoyme lecho sora shma bekoila, everything sora tells you, listen to her voice. Venerali lefarish pirish hamemra, you know, I'm looking at the time here, I'm seeing we're going to run out of time. I'm thinking that perhaps we'll leave it here and come back and finish this in the next class.